Renegade Health Radio.
Renegade Health Radio. This is Kevin Gianni with Frederick Patnaud. What's up, Fred?
Hey, Kevin. Hi, everybody. I thought today we should do a little, like, a different format. I don't know if it's going to work, but I had a bunch of, like, updates and news and so on to go through, and I thought we could do that.
Nah.
No, we can't. We have to stick with the usual podcast.
Let's give it a whirl. Let's see
All
where
right.
we're going.
First, an update on the podcast we did 2 weeks ago on Soylent, which is a product that's coming out or whatever, like a Silicon Valley startup as a food replacement formula for busy people. And it turns out that the name Soylent from our readers comes from a movie in the 70s called Soylent Green. It's a sort of sci-fi movie where it's like this dystopian future where they make this food, right, that everybody should eat. And it turns out that it's made out of people.
Oh, that's awful.
So
why would they name the company that?
I know. People are kind of disturbed about the fact that they would name the company Soylent and probably know about, about the movie. Anyway, so...
is it made out of people?
The current product is probably not currently made out of people. Who knows about their future projects? But and also some people thought, from the reviews, I kind of gleaned that some people thought we were kind of endorsing this product or something.
Oh, okay. No.
Yeah. And it's just, things come up. And to me, they're interesting, not that I think they're necessarily interesting products, but they lead to interesting discussions. So should we eat food replacement products? Is it even possible to do it? I thought the discussion was interesting, started by... this product announcement, but obviously we were not endorsing it. Although I must say that this podcast is endorsed and paid for by Coca-Cola, the taste of refreshment when you need... wait, I messed it up. I got to memorize it.
That was unexpected.
like in the old radio shows, they would kind of embed ads within... the whole thing, like they just as you're talking, you're kind of it turns into an advertisement.
The next news piece is endorsed by Conagra, Fed.
Exactly. Actually, the next news piece is an article that came out in the New York Times on rice. So we've heard about rice being possibly a source of arsenic, and what it turns out is that the rice plant itself is the problem, not the problem, but it has a particular set of characteristics that sort of drive certain minerals in the grain itself. So if the fields are flooded in a traditional paddy method, the rice takes up arsenic, and if the water is reduced in an effort to limit arsenic, according to the article in the New York Times, then it will absorb cadmium, another dangerous element. So it's sort of a weird characteristic of this plant due to the way it drives its minerals because of its needs for silicon compounds or silicate. It will move the nutrients through the plant, but deliver them in the grain itself instead of the leaves. So the arsenic ends up there. If there's arsenic in the soil, and if they kind of change the growing method to include less water, then if there's cadmium in the soil, then it will end up in the plant. Now, it ends up in the husk mainly, so that the brown rice has 10 times the levels of arsenic, if there is extra arsenic, as polished rice. So is that a problem? The parts are very small for rice grown in California or in the United States, but they're still looking into it because it can be a problem if you eat too much of it. And then, of course, you want to know where it's grown and what minerals it's absorbing, because it can even, the plant can even absorb other minerals, other metals, actually, such as mercury from the soil. So it is a plant that kind of it can lead to metal contamination if the soil leads to that. So it's the news is sort of about the fact that this plant has specific botanical characteristics that lead to that. So you want to be aware where kind of your rice is coming from. And I probably wouldn't buy the black rice from China anymore, even though it's black rice and so on. But the one they sell at Whole Foods and so on, it's from China, by the way. All the ones that I found. So that's kind of the news on the arsenic and rice.
You know, Mike Adams tested a brand of rice from California, and the brand is, I got it right here. It is called Lundberg Rice, and it's just a name brand. And they have sushi rice, jasmine rice, brown rice.
Yeah, I think I know it. Yeah.
And you've probably seen it at the health food store because I see it right here. I recognize it. Here's a picture of it. And this has, you know, relatively low levels of just about every heavy metal. So this is a brand that that I think you could you know make your sushi or make your macrobiotic meals safely with.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good to know. And yeah, we'll probably know more about this. I mean, a lot of stuff about nutrition is pretty new. You know, we discover more all the time. So this is kind of new stuff and came out in the last few years.
It's a big deal though, because the way, you know, where I think the next discussion in terms of our food after like the whole, you know, GMO thing goes and we finally, you know, actually have access and the right to, you know, not genetically modifying, you know, the types of foods that we're eating or have someone else do it. And we're actually allowed to eat real food. I think the next thing is going to be this wave of testing the food for what's in it. So it's, you know, everyone just takes for granted that a piece of rice is a piece of rice or that an apple is an apple or that, you know, a banana is a banana, a piece of meat is a piece of meat. A lot of us are coming hip to the fact that's not true nutrient wise. But what about toxicity wise as well? So I think that's like the next step. So now we're realizing that, hey, you know, a piece of beef from, you know, a cow raised, you know, in a box is going to be different than, you know, a piece of beef from a cow that's out in a field. An apple grown, you know, or a banana that's extremely hybridized and, you know, just really is a big old sugar bomb. Is totally different than the type of banana you could find in maybe Costa Rica, you know, the heirloom type bananas, or maybe even in South America. So, you know, we've kind of gotten to that point. We're realizing that, but we're not looking at, you know, what if that heirloom banana from Costa Rica or from Ecuador is grown, you know, on a place that is, you know, highly toxic. You know, it's like they just started a, you know, this farm on some sort of old mine or something like that, you know? So that's like the next step in our food evolution, I think, is looking at what actual toxins are in the food and how to get food that doesn't have these toxins.
Yeah. And also, I mean, it's not a judgment on the food itself. Like sometimes it's just the fact that, you know, like the rice will take up certain minerals and the soil where it's grown. And it's, you know, sometimes there can be even factors out of our control. You know, an organic farmer might be growing the food, but it's still because of, I know, whatever factors like that. It turns out that there's a little bit too much of this or not enough of that. Whoops.
Nope. Fred, are you okay?
Yeah.
Too much arsenic. Yeah.
Microphone fell off the bridge where I'm standing. No. All right. Next news. I got another study that came out that says that McDonald's is awesome. No, it doesn't say that. But it just says that it's an interesting piece of news that they've done studies comparing like thousands of meals from different restaurants and what people actually order at those restaurants and how many calories they're consuming.
Okay.
So it turns out that sit-down restaurants in the United States, chain sit-down restaurants like Olive Garden,
okay,
are actually the worst for your health in terms of what people eat there, the calories that I found, the level of sodium and fat and everything, saturated fat, versus like basic fast food restaurants like McDonald's and Burger King, where people will, the food is maybe more, even more dense in calories, but people will eat less. The general meal is going to be, 800 calories or 1,000 calories. And what they found is in a sit-down restaurant chain like Olive Garden, the typical amount of calories consumed is 1,500 calories, boom, one meal, and over 3,000 milligrams of sodium in one meal. So,
do you know how many milligrams of sodium is in the McDonald's meal on average or no?
It's less than that.
Yeah.
It's definitely, it's going to be like, 1200 milligrams or something, in the meal. I mean, maybe 1500, I don't know, but, the fries are not that high in sodium.
Interesting.
Compared to, it's mostly like in the burger. And then, but it's people tend to think, people, in general, like they go to these chain restaurants, they take their family there, like Red Lobster, TGI Fridays. And because it's a sit down restaurant, you have waitress, the whole environment, there's a kitchen, they make the food more or less on the spot, but it's still, these are worse for your health than fast food. I think the key thing is that with fast food restaurants, it's not that the food is great, but people tend to control their portion. They know like what, approximately what they're going to eat. And in a sit down restaurant, what they found is just if you don't like restrain by saying, I'm going to share a main dish, I'm going to skip dessert, I'm going to skip the appetizer, blah, blah, blah. If you just go for the full on menu, you can top over 2,000 calories in a single meal. So,
wow.
No, it's sort of it's just an interesting piece of study. I already knew about this because just from analyzing menus and so on, I found that interesting that, it's probably, the worst kind of place where you can go if you're trying to lose weight. But if you end up at a restaurant like that, you know, there are a lot of things you can do to eat better. You can, can choose what you're going to eat and you can skip a lot of stuff. But just to know, people end up taking more calories there than in fast food restaurants.
Wow. Where do the salad dressing on the side, or just oil and vinegar, or just oil and lemon?
Yeah,
that's pretty much, that's like the emergency, like backup. If you ever end up with your family or with your friends at a place that you just would never, ever, 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 ever in a million years chosen as a place where you wanted to eat, my fallback is always salad with no meat. And I get the dressing and the dressing on the side, and I get, half a lemon, and I just use all the lemon juice. And that's my default.
And you look like a weirdo.
Yeah, you look like a weirdo. And then you just say, well, I'm just not feeling that well.
But you know
my
what
stomach's
I found,
a little upset.
But you know, a salad always kind of, it doesn't raise too many eyebrows, I find. Because people eat salads, right?
Yeah.
If you order like a plate of fruit as a meal, that raises a lot of eyebrows.
Yeah, yeah. I remember there was a point where someone told me that they have a card that they give to waiters or waitresses when they're out to dinner.
Oh, like the raw food card, like,
yeah,
I only eat raw foods, please try to make a...
Yeah, and like, I can't, there was a moment where I thought that was, and I still think it's kind of a decent idea, but it just brings a lot of attention to you, you know what I mean? That's one of those things, like if you're doing this sort of thing and you're doing an extreme diet and you're, doing your thing and enjoying it, you really don't want people questioning you. That's kind of how I always felt about it. Like, I didn't want people asking me about it all the time. In the beginning I was excited because I thought I would actually change other people's lives. I thought that they would just instantly hear, nugget of wisdom that I just, said at the dinner table, and suddenly they just join me. And I realized that that wasn't the case real fast. And then like all the attention that you bring when you do, when that happens, for me, it's just like, wow, just order a salad and eat either before or after when you go home, So.
Yeah. The eating before is kind of the secret.
Yeah.
I mean, I find that if I have a little something in my stomach and I can go to any restaurant and not feel like, oh my God, I'm tempted by, you know, to order something really decadent or, you know, and then I can go with the salad and the dressing on the side kind of deal.
Yeah. Next news bit is brought to you by Burger King.
No, that was this one.
Oh, that was that one. Yeah, sorry. Last one brought to you by Burger King.
No, the next one is the story that came out that Vermont, the state of Vermont, might be the or will be actually the first state to label GMOs starting in July 2016. So
why so long, man?
2 years from now to give producers, you know, food producers enough time to stick to the new law or whatever. So that's what's gonna happen.
It's just they just put some print on a box. I mean, it's so easy. These companies change their boxes all the time, and they're complaining that it's going to be hard for them to actually put maybe like a sentence made with GMO ingredients on a box. I think it's crazy.
Well, they already do that like compulsively with the nuts thing, right? This product probably contains peanuts. It's made in a factory that contains, you know, that processes those nuts. I mean, they want to avoid liability by putting that, but I mean, they could put something very basic like, I don't know, the wheat has been genetically modified or blah, blah, blah. And the last piece of news I wanted to share is not so much like a news, but like an interesting article that came out about fasting in Germany. So how fasting in Germany is quite popular. And in fact, you can do a fasting 10 to 12 days of a fasting cure at certain clinics. And it's reimbursed by the healthcare system there. So it's way more popular than it is here. And there are different styles of fasting. So the sort of, you know, water only fasting that's popular in the United States is not the norm there. It's generally a very kind of restricted diet, sort of like 200, 250 calories a day, where you have like a little broth or some honey and water and, you know, something like that. That's, you know, the most common form of fasting that they use there. Some water only fasting, but in this article that I read recently on this, it was just interesting how, I mean, I knew that fasting was very it comes from Europe. The theory comes from Europe, comes from mainly from Germany, but that's still right now in Germany, it's very popular. There are like dozens of fasting, possibly hundreds of fasting clinics. A book on fasting sold over 2 million copies since the 70s in this country. So it's, you know, accepted in Germany as a therapy. And like I said, even reimbursed partly by the healthcare system in some cases. So it's a different mindset there. For alternative therapies, I think outside of France, France is really not a leader in that. But Germany and the UK is, I think, is more advanced, more accepted, more part of the, you know, it's been part of the culture for longer.
Well, I'll tell you why they've chosen to reimburse it. Because, I mean, the person's only eating like 250 calories. I mean, it's not that much money, you know?
Right. That's what everybody says about fasting.
But it's great. I mean, it's just so foolish to think that you know, some of this stuff doesn't work. And, you know, we talk about Alan Goldhammer a lot here at Renegade Health, and on this, we've even talked about him on this podcast probably a few times. And, you know, his clinic up in Santa Rosa, named True North, is just one of the coolest places around for health. And, you know, I've been to a lot of clinics around the United States and, you know, for certain issues, anything that deals with diseases of excess, essentially, overeating or, you know, too much sodium or too much stress or too much inflammation or, Anything that's dealing with these diseases, water fasting is something to consider. And, you know, you go up there for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, depending on what your situation is based on what they recommend. You're essentially just taking, you know, it's hitting the reset button. So, you know, your computer, when it gets wonky and you're like, what the heck, you know, my headphones don't work. I can't get any sound for my Skype. You know, my browser keeps closing just for no reason at all. I mean, all these sorts of things, like just kind of think of those things happening in your body. Think about hitting that reset button on your computer and then it boots up and everything works. And you're like, wow, I should have done that before because I was stressing about why my Skype didn't work. But all I needed to do was reset the computer. Same with fasting. It just for some reason or another. And, you know, we know some of the reasons. We've covered some of the reasons in previous podcasts. But, you know, this is one of those reset buttons that is just so valuable. And so, you know, I hope that eventually it becomes mainstream here. And the funny thing is this is old medicine. I mean, fasting is old medicine. I mean, obviously it's spiritual, right? Because, you know, you can read about fasting in the Bible. You can read about fasting in the Quran. You can read about fasting, you know, throughout religious history, but it's also medically healing too. And so it's been around for a long time, longer than we have been around, like you and me, Fred.
Oh, I don't think we even count in that span. But you know what? What kind of pisses me off about fasting and the medical industry and people who have a lot of bad things to say about fasting, even though they've never fasted a day in their life.
Well, that's number one, right? That's number one that pisses you off, right?
Well, yeah, you've never fasted, but you say it's terribly dangerous. And also, you've never been to a fasting clinic. You've never observed that. Well, you know, people tend to think fasting is sort of as a last resort, and you fast when you've tried other things that haven't worked. But also, they tend to think of fasting as something you do when you don't want to take medicines, right? You just want to do it the natural way. But in reality, fasting, water fasting for certain diseases, works when nothing else works. It's not like that some of the medicines work and then but you might want to try fasting if you don't want to take the medicines. It's more that for many people, nothing works. Nothing has worked. Medicine has failed them, and then they go to fasting as a last resort, and then in many, many cases, it works. So it works where nothing else works in some cases, and it works better than medicines in some cases. And just, you know, we're not going to spend a lot of time today talking about this, but obviously we've talked about it before, like you said, Kevin, and in some countries it's a recommended therapy. We'll just say quickly that, you know, we don't recommend that you fast on your own. I mean, just saying that it's out there in the realm of possibilities if you're looking. So those were pretty much all the news I had today.
That's it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot more news. That's the problem,
more
right?
Health news, right? That I thought were interesting.
That's the problem. There's probably more health news too, and we're just not getting it. It's just not coming across our wavelengths because you know, people are concerned about who knows what. You know, people are going to TMZ and they're learning about Chris Brown being in jail and Lindsay Lohan and, you know, all these other people doing weird things. Bieber. Oh, Bieber.
Our fellow Canadian.
Yeah, no, he's from your country.
He's from the other part of the country. Those damn English people.
All right, we're going to cut this one short today. Hey, leave a review for us if you like it. If you don't, that's cool too. You can leave a review, but just make sure it's on someone else's if it's a bad review.
If you don't like it, you can leave a review or you can leave. All right. Where should people go, Kevin, if they want to download the other podcasts or maybe check out the rest of our website?
They should go to renegadehealth.com. You can get a free book. Free book. It's a free book. It's a full book. It's a real book written, you know, like real, not like a, you know, not like a half, you know, 20 page ebook. It's like a real 100 something page book. You can get it for free.
Renegade on the High Raw Diet, right?
On the High Raw Diet. Renegadehealth.com. Get it.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye, Kev.
Renegade Health Radio.